Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Our text for our meditation here this morning is recorded in the 6th chapter of the Holy Gospel according to St. John, beginning with the 25th verse, and note that the reading is misprinted in the bulletin. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for food that perishes, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him God the Father has set his seal." These are your words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. You may be seated. Do you remember playing with a shape-sorting toy as a child? Its purpose is to help children develop hand-eye coordination and to develop motor skills. The toy consists of various shaped pieces and a hollow globe or a cube with their corresponding shapes cut into it. The object is to match each piece with its corresponding hole on the globe and then insert it into the globe. Now, no one wants to admit that they were one of those kids that really struggled with this. You know that kid who connected the right piece with the right hole, but just couldn't line it up? Or worse, that kid who took the circular pieces and began to pound them through? Or even worse yet, that kid who just started to manipulate the hole in order to push all the pieces through. Not exactly college material. But truth be told, we're a lot like that by nature when it comes to spiritual things. St. Augustine once said that each of us has a God-shaped hole in our hearts. Now we can try to fill that hole with a whole host of different things. But only one thing will truly fill that hole. Only one thing will satisfy. Only one thing will fill that emptiness within. And that is Jesus Christ. Let us then meditate on this theme. Don't hunger after bread that doesn't satisfy. Hunger after Jesus, the bread of life. Now, right before our text, Jesus had fed over 5,000 with 2 small fish and 5 barley loaves. But when the crowd tried to take him by force and make him their bread king, their own, very own, genie in a bottle, he withdrew from them to a mountain by himself. That evening, his disciples sailed alone across the Sea of Galilee to Capernaum. But when the seas grew rough, Jesus walked on the waters to them. And once he climbed into their boat, suddenly they land safe at their destination. Now, when some of those who tried to take him by force couldn't find him, they set sail to Galilee and were completely dumbfounded to find him there without a boat. But instead of recognizing the significance of this miracle, they said to him, "Rabbi," rather than the greater Moses that he signified. "When," rather than "how," did you possibly get here? To which he responded, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves." The conversation then continued with Jesus' famous Bread of Life sermon in the Capernaum synagogue. Here he preached on Exodus 16, where God provided manna for the hungry and unbelieving Israelites in the desert. Now, Jesus did this in order to rebuke them, to show them that they were no better than their stomach-driven and their unbelieving ancestors. However, Jesus wasn't rebuking them for looking to him for daily bread. He was rebuking them because they did not see the value of the bread of life. For the whole feeding of the 5,000 was intended to show that he was the long foretold greater Moses, the Messiah, prophesied in Deuteronomy 18. For unlike the first Moses, Jesus himself had the power to supply all that they needed for life, not just for temporal life, but also for eternal life. And the bread that he offers is none other than Jesus Christ himself under the means of grace. For Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that comes down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." But before we mock them for trying to fill the God-shaped hole in their hearts with nothing that can truly satisfy, we better all do some real soul-searching. For we too use religion for all the wrong reasons. For we'll follow Jesus, provided he gives us a lucrative career, a significant other, or a passing grade. Isn't that kind of like, though, that kid who kept trying to put the right shape with the right hole, but just couldn't quite line it up to push it through? If we're honest, we also try to fill that hole with all the things of this world: power, respect, success, in the world, within the classroom, or on the athletic field. The license to redefine our own personal identity at the whim of our own pleasure. Drug-induced euphorias, sexual conquest, the hoarding of money and things. But isn't that a lot like that kid who kept trying to pound the circular pieces through the hole? Or even worse, face it, we're not exactly spiritual material. In the Old Testament, though, all the sacrifices, the grain offerings and the animal sacrifices, not only pointed to Christ, but they also provided grace for the people. When some of those sacrifices were offered, part of the sacrifice was offered to God, and part of it was eaten by the priests and the people. And yet neither the Old Testament believers nor the New Testament believers like us would have received any grace at all had Jesus not sacrificed himself upon the holy cross. For this reason, Jesus Christ, the bread of life, was born in Bethlehem, the house of bread, so that he could make a one soul sufficient sacrifice for the sins of all people. With his holy life, he undid every evil thing that we have ever done and gathered it up into himself. And with his holy death, he paid for all of those sins and reconciled us again with God the Father. When this was accomplished, the temple curtain tore in two, because we could once again re-enter into paradise and eat of the tree of life. For his holy cross is the new tree of life, and its fruit is the bread of life. All this he did so that you and me could feast with him forever in paradise regained. But now that Jesus had knocked some sense into them with the law and caused them to hunger for the bread of life with the gospel, our natural inclination is still probably much like his hearers there when he first delivered this sermon. What shall we do so that we may work the works of God? In other words, what could we possibly do to merit such precious food? And this is the most amazing thing of all. For Jesus says, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." In other words, God has done it for you. He has not only created faith into your hearts, but he gives that bread to you, as the old German Lutherans of old used to say, Gnaden frei umsonst, grace free for nothing. And this he offers to you and me today, wherever God's word is rightly preached and his sacraments are properly administrated. Therefore, brothers and sisters, regularly chew on God's word and sacraments. For God the Father has set his seal of approval on this bread of life. It is the food that even angels long to consume. Savor it like a fine wine. Reflect on its distinctive notes and flavors. Discuss it with your friends. Talk about it with your neighbors. Let the whole experience transform you. For if we do this with artisanal food and drink, how much more so then with the bread of life? For Jesus says, I am the living bread that comes down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. Amen.